Hello, welcome. This is Table Set Yourself, episode 11. And I'm standing here right in front of the big majestic apple tree, just shining in a delightful green color today, although it's raining heavily today, 5th of May. And I welcome you. I'm your host for tonight's episode, tonight's lecture, let's call it that, yeah. You listeners better take notes and see what you can take out of this for your life. I mean, I don't recommend anything, or I don't give advices, I tell you bluntly about my state of mind, which is a troubled state and not to be trusted and stuff. And so it's of eigene Verantwortung, it's on your own responsibility if you want to follow my advice, and that's really up to you. And yeah, so dear listeners, that's you. And yeah, welcome, especially to the women. I wanted to welcome you because I felt like I had to say something so difficult, how nice it is with women. But then again, this polyamory stuff, and how could this be, to be friends and yet be true to your lover, but still be a good friend. The polyamory takes off the edge of those social relationships, that's what I said. You can imagine, okay, it could be normal to have sex with another person, but doesn't mean that you're being necessarily disloyal to your lover. And it's a candid, it's an addition to this social relationship, a frank or genuine addition that feels natural in a certain circumstance, but doesn't mean it's even love, or could also be love. And this is so heartbreaking, right? I mean, for myself, I'm really in this position that I'm caving this tunnel and can't even seem to come out at the other end and see the light. Therefore, it's needed, right? I need someone to help me. This is the thing in love. This tunnel has to be caved from two sides. And this is my suspicion. Therefore, of course, all this doesn't matter now, what I said about anyone, because I'm only now talking to you again, my imaginary lover. No, but you can feel like anyone could feel enchanted by these words, but still I think this person knows which person is meant, or who is she, and but who is I. And this is such a difficult subject, right? Who is this personality or identity? That's the whole thing, and stuff discussed about in these discussions about gender theory also always. This is so painful and so polemic, because identity is a hurtful topic maybe, and therefore I laid this right before you, so you could see my vices. And I don't know even why this is so, seems to be so important in love, and I have this feeling I want to show you my dark places and objects. And in the office one time we even talked, but then said you had to go to talk to your mother, but there you could have told me more about smoking and stuff. But doesn't matter, even it's all I say here, even in this podcast, doesn't matter, because this only matters, only will matter what we talk between ourselves in private. Like this week, we didn't talk, of course, but the most important act already occurred. This incomparable act I talked about yesterday. And this dark object I was talking about. So why is this even so important? I can't come up with this with an explanation, really, but can say this, that yeah, love is such a high concept, and yeah, Yeah, and it's so difficult. Ooh, it's pretty loud. I gotta close this window. Seems frankly impossible to achieve, to really be that person. I feel that would be needed to be, to leave my vices behind and become, I don't know, more healthy and more balanced person. To be there for you, your anchor, and maybe women also expect this, that they have a stronghold and they think of a man. Someone, yeah, can guard them and feel strong, and exactly. So, but this is the crucial point, that this also puts us under pressure. Therefore, I say no, women should be strong, or at least I admire you also for your strength that you showed me, not only this week, yesterday, like I said, it was the first time, felt like, because it was such a huge gap, such a long time between this and exactly, and yeah, therefore, but you showed me, of course, well, doesn't even matter enough for me to know that you're such a this special person. I even can't go beyond, you can't go beyond thinking that I need to be in your arms. And yeah, this is the most important thing. We'll maybe get to this at the end when I can read this love poem. But exactly, press you against me, your body against mine, and hold you in my arms. This would be the crucial point. And it would be even more crucial to become such a healthy person and say, yeah, I don't want to blunder this relationship. Of course, this is a thought, but it's also inhibiting, and I can't really measure my success by this. How much this is the topic of the catharsis. How much better person am I going to become by this love? No, I don't want to think this way. I don't want to think that you have to go to a whole transcendent course and change your personality through love, because this is this modern high concept of love that I criticize also. So romantic, and we think of it so highly, but it can't be reached. It's not even there in material world, can't be fixed, can't be found there if it's so idealized. So yeah, it's, of course, it makes you feel different, act different, and already be different, as Nietzsche said. Maybe this was contradictory, but this always about the special philosophy of Nietzsche, but this was a crucial point. I think this mention of him and of Dante and his work was a good point, although it seems contradictory what I cited from Nietzsche. But it doesn't matter. It's exactly this way, that you can't start a whole new life, but still you feel a whole new person, and you will see where this love gets you. It has to be explored, and it can't be set on the get-go what is even your goal or your main goal. And yeah, this, therefore, I had this feeling yesterday when I was going to sleep, and there this big enlightenment maybe sank into me, and I felt so relieved that yes, this is the thing I need to do, and want only this, to be sleeping, falling asleep with you in my arms, and waking up and seeing you, smelling you and everything, and yeah, touching your skin. And this would be the one thing I want to do and need to do, and this is so important and so needed, and nothing else matters even. And yeah, I maybe can't be that great of a person, but at least this I have to try, and I have to try what this does to me. And this was the thought yesterday, yeah, falling asleep, and I thought, oh yeah, boy, this is this is true. I was listening to this episode, was quite good, maybe not the best, but number 10, yeah, yesterday was acceptable. And as I thought, oh yeah, I get the feeling like my theory is holding, and my love theory is grounded on all my communist theory, and yeah, this is all complicated, but still I think like this is holding, and this is like, yeah, this has to do with the whole world age and the fights, the class struggles, and military fights all over the world, and this disastrous situation of liberal competition and brutal enslavement of whole nations that we see in this global democratic market. Well, it's the label to sell our a capitalist system to rule. Of course, we label it democratic, and anyone can believe this if they're out of their mind. But this is not the point here. What I was expressing is only that this also was then a fear, or it felt fearful, but also good, of course, to think, yeah, my theory really holds, and although maybe I can't explain the whole world, but still I explain a lot, right, and my podcast, yeah, but on top is this theory of love, and even this could hold, and even this could be possible to live. This is incredible. I can't even, and yeah, therefore I have to go on talking here and also expressing this paradox, because of course it's this paradoxical that I talk about polyamory, but then now I have this feeling for you, only want to be in your arms and not even look or think of other persons, and maybe only later, depending also on what you think, but maybe even this could be enough to only have you for years or all my life even, and yeah, could be, it's all paradoxical, and need to talk again about this, and yeah, I don't want to set the standard so high, like then it will be impossible to go back to talking next week, hopefully, but no, I think, yeah, I need to get into the state of relief, and for some reason I needed to say all this and express a lot, but it doesn't even matter. All that I say here is maybe for those other women, as I say, to tell them, and also those men, of course, mainly them, they have the active role, and I can tell them that it's a great thing maybe to step up, but everyone, also other women that I could love or feel entangled, and I say them, yeah, could be maybe, but it's not even sure, and you better look for a man yourself, it's better, I can be there for anyone. Well, it would be maybe a nice narcissistic thought, a primary thought you'd have, that it would be great to be the only man who has a penis and could satisfy a woman, and somehow, yes, I gotta get enough, right? But then, if you think about it in depth, you feel, you realize it's not even possible, right? How could you have this much sex? It's not possible. And yeah, it's maybe something, this maybe has to do with liberalism, the way we're programmed, and this is what I meant, we can't escape it, and the sexual desire is also already encoded, all our deformations and our illnesses that are encrypted into our brain by this liberal market society. But I found this an interesting thought that, yeah, over those last month, this half year, already separate from my girlfriend, and thinking again about this difficult love subjects, and I also wanted to get into this position, like pretending like it was still such a difficult topic, but it isn't, because I have this podcast, but not because I could seduce a girl here and tell, no, even if I did straight kept on talk straight to politics, and then I felt like the podcast already gives you so much confidence, you could find a partner easily, doesn't matter, through a dating app or wherever. I feel like, yeah, I could do it someday, but I wanted to get into the situation also, like feeling desperate and think, oh no, I don't know if a girl is ever going to love or look at me again. And yeah, no, yes, and this, I don't know why, but to have this socialist feeling and to foster my theory and think about how this feels for other persons, and this can't be an individual victory as experts. So what I say, that this podcasts are for you in this way, but it doesn't matter what I say in them, the content is, well, maybe nice as an entertainment for you, but it doesn't matter to our relationship. You shouldn't feel bounded by it. No boundaries, no length, right? No, because you set my boundaries and I want to hear about you. And yeah, setting boundaries and your love letter or whatever you can give me, or your words, doesn't have to be so much. And of course, it's too much what I say here. But I mean this sincerely, that I only crave for this for you. Use, and you don't have to adjust them to mine. This is also like a clash, not like in a fight, but in a, like in a love game, like in chess. But it's also a clash, maybe, of opposing views. And this would be great. This I desire so much. And yeah, therefore, this, what I say here, is maybe nice to think about, but it doesn't matter in this. It's not that in Stein gemeißelt. It's not that committed, it's not set into stone, as we say in German, in Stein gemeißelt. One moment, I need to improve my setup here so I can have enough space. So today it's gonna be a long episode. I feel I can maybe even talk some German at the end, because then my power will finally let will go down, let loose, or let will be out of power, and therefore can read something, some of my writings, maybe in German, at the end. But if there's time, and yeah, now I don't know what did I want to look up, but doesn't matter. I think what I say is that this is a present to you, but the present is not the content, is not the theory that I make, is only the form, it's only this crazy form of, yeah, recording all these podcasts and making them like a love present and saying, yeah, I'm so shy, I can't talk to you in real life, and but it's because of those feelings, and because it has all been accumulated through those months, and especially when not talking and feels you're imagining more, and it of course gets even more desirable, a person or some object that is far from you. You always want what you don't have. That's a paradox in capitalism, but it's also something good. It also can be used for erotic purposes, as I viewed this, that it was maybe not planned from both our sides, but we both are in this way, as I expressed yesterday. You are so feminine, and I perceived that and drew my conclusions and said, yeah, maybe we have to play such a special game with you, but I don't want to lose you, but still I feel this could be, because you're a special girl, and this, yeah. And this, so this one day, this one day, right, in December, then it went all wrong, but I expressed this, that, and yeah, I didn't even tell a lot of points of our conversations, or those critical, or those polemic misunderstandings, and, yeah, differences we maybe had about this topic, that male activity and female waiting. I didn't even mention it all so clearly here in this podcast, because I feel this podcast is also part of our private conversation, and it kind of spins it further, and it's good to not tell everything to the other listeners and keep them also a little on the outside. But yeah, what I wanted to say, this is like a present for you, but it only matters that it's this form and this craziness I want to express, that you drive me so crazy and so paradoxical in love, I don't even know what to do, but still talking always, of course, then gets me a little more grounded. Therefore this had to be, and you also provoked me, and now I can't stop it, and now it's this clear feeling today I have to deliver a good episode, because now I'm going to Switzerland and not going to be able to record much this weekend, so this has to be one of a kind, and I have to leave you this, and to express this craziness, and exactly what I say is this crucial point that the content doesn't matter. Oh yeah, it matters as a Anstoß for you, as a tip-off, something you can maybe think about then, but it doesn't matter as in we have to be true to it in our love. No, this is only the theory and the product, right? This enslaves you then later. We don't have to be true to anything, but only to that what we discuss amongst ourselves in our very private conversations, and this is this holy space I feel. Zweisamkeit, togetherness, or love cave, and only this, what can be expressed there, will be then the ground for possible love, if it could happen, and we'll see. And it's, exactly. And now back to this day in December where it all went wrong, right? I told you then about my podcast and had this feeling, oh no, I just did a mistake already here. Shouldn't have sent you this. Told you about my podcast. I don't know why, because maybe of this feeling, yeah, now you're gonna admire me because I can do so much podcasts, and of course it's understandable, I think. Saw in you that you already were listening to a podcast during work, and yeah, at least knew what a podcast is, and then yeah, felt, of course I have to tell you, but I now shouldn't have felt then after sending it, because I don't know why, because yeah, I should have told you about love, and this love letter was more crucial, and then yeah, maybe afterwards. But it doesn't matter, this is der Bachner, and exactly, there's down the river, and so many beautiful things also happened in this time. You can't take it back. Many beautiful things, like also, but also painful things, like this time of being not seeing each other, or only playing this Katz und Maus Spiel. Yeah. And excuse me one moment, please. Need to again turn on my hotspot. Ah no, here the internet comes back. Anstoß, this is a good word, also to do with philosophy. Anstoß, impetus. Well, I don't know. Kick off, of course, in sports, but this is all not so good. Anstoß. No. Break, face off in ice hockey, impetus, well, to encourage, exactly, this is what I wanted to win, to encourage them and tell them, yeah, you really have to look for men, because men nowadays, they're so shy, they don't get it, and I don't get it, right, I'm also this shy in my own bubble, in my podcast, don't even dare to go out. But yeah, next week, of course, I will. This is then crucial next week, because I feel the tension so high, I feel so bad now, going to Switzerland again and being without you, and only, as I said, want to do all this with you, and had this feeling also on Christmas then that you were going home. And I felt also this is dangerous. I thought, no, this is ridiculous to think it's not like you're going to a dangerous area. But still, I felt, no. But then at least I have to tell her what I feel. And it's so romantic also. But, oh, no. And, yeah, then I wrote about the podcast. And then he said, exactly on 24th, an Heiligabend, Christmas Eve, then said, oh no, this, well, I said this about, yeah, why do you always wait for me? I would have appreciated it so much if you came to see me at my desk. And women always seem to wait because they fear to be taken for an easy girl. And yeah, with this easy girl complex, I said, I don't want it to sound like it's an illness, like I'm psychologizing or saying it's a psychological complex. No, complex, I mean all only that it's a complex, a group of thoughts, it's a group I don't even understand, I don't know, but it feels really bad that for men apparently needs to be, in, like in this Lana Del Rey song was, she sang that most men don't want a woman with a legacy, and I interpret this in this exact way, that they want a woman that is clean, maybe not a virgin, but still a virgin also. Always feels so traumatic to think about prior love partners of your then new love partner. But yeah, in this kind of way, men are thinking that this should be a woman that is only there for them, and she doesn't have any other experience before them in their life. And this is so stupid, of course, because this experience also forms you and you learn from it. And this way, this easy girl talk is so totally, yeah, preventing, hurting both men and women, and simply preventing new relationships from starting. And exactly, this is the thing. And I also used this term back then in a conversation and said, yeah, why don't you come to me? And this maybe bothered you and you felt, oh no, you felt annoyed by this comment, and then said, no, well, doesn't matter. For some reason, yeah, you felt so bad, and felt already, oh yeah, this was a disaster, what had happened there. And I was also in a state of shock because my cat, we had just buried him this day, but yeah, it doesn't matter. Also, therefore, I was really nervous, but mainly because of you, and because, yeah, I felt so in love. Also, this love has to do with my vice, of course, then, that you feel like, yeah, when you're smoking weed each day, and this makes you reflecting, but also feeling, it makes this maybe stronger, or makes you feel like you want to sink in, makes you kind of, yeah, also creates this inertia, and then makes you feel like, yeah, you want to sink in this beginning love feeling, and then maybe fosters it and gets strong, but still, I feel this is a totally authentic love feeling, but yeah, still would be greater, of course, if I could at least get over a little this vice, and yeah, feel this has to be, because I have to live this love also, and this is the greatest vice of all, of course, love, and yeah, have to be really a little more responsible in this. And then, yeah, but this was back then, and then, oh man, I don't even know, it doesn't matter how conversation went, I just want to wrap this up here, but yeah, keep it private, and just that it felt so sharp that, I don't know, maybe I blundered it, but at least now for some days or weeks, this was going to stay in this bad situation, and I only wanted to see you and hug you and keep talking to you, but now it seemed all so impossible. And then I recorded a private podcast back then because I also felt so much stomach pain. I couldn't go to see my grandparents that day, but we went 2 days later with my parents that when I wrote up this love letter. But yeah, this is only what I wanted to mention in this private podcast. I made such a big, that came to the surface, this remorse, this Gewissensbiss, and I made this question, is it even going to happen? Is it even, yeah, is it this way that I maybe feel more for weed than for any women, and it's always going to be this way? And it's never, I can never have a love relationship because, yeah, I feel I want to be more, this is more important to me. And yeah, of course, this is a point, but I still have to say that I'm also disappointed with women, or at least with this, what my one friend tells me, that many women he met or he wrote with on Bumble, yeah, they then are so, they don't tolerate a person that is smoking or addicted, and then say, no, this is a no-brainer, this is already, yeah, this can't lead to a relationship. And this I find quite, astonishing. I mean, how can you, this seems like also for a woman, a man has to be this clean and doesn't have to have other darker experiences and something, a legacy, yeah, they feel not so great about. And yeah, but one other thought, this is a very problematic thought I'm not going to spit out, but this was something then I thought when publishing this episode number 2, and I was in a really sharp state, not so smoking too much, but it made me feel so much emotional, loops or roller coaster. And yeah, but thinking that maybe the reason for this addiction, not only me, but maybe men, they feel driven towards towards the dark area, and they want to risk something or sich aufs Spiel setzen. They feel driven towards unhealthy behaviors, compulsive behavior, also like in chess. You have to really, maybe be addicted to the game and play it all day long in your youth. Only this way you create this special harmony and this bond to the board. You know how you can feel a certain position, can come up with your intuition. But in order to get there, you maybe have to be this compulsive also. And these are all those male behaviors that should be open, should be also recommended to women. And of course, women given this impetus, this encouragement to get there. Sich auf Spiel setzen, to gamble. Yeah, now I turned on my hotspot here. Still the internet. It's too many people living here, wasting the bandwidth. Verbraten, yeah, die Leitung. Verbraten die Gigabytes. Verstopfen die Leitung there. Well, let's be precise here. What was I even saying? Sich aufs Spiel setzen. Exactly, those dark spots. And I feel like smoking also, the reason for this could be that as a man you perceive women in society through those structures and these authoritarian sluggish concepts in liberalism that make us feel or tell us like we're so free, but what are you gonna be when you're free and left to do nothing you want to do and achieve nothing, because your first concern is not committing a blunder and don't want to be ashamed, don't want to be different than the others and want to be just normal. Therefore this liberalism is so toxic, because it makes us want to achieve nothing at all and say we could, but we could achieve anything, could do anything, and if we fail, it must be a failure, a mistake in our own personality. It's totally ourselves to blame. In this way everything can go on, the state is not in danger, this capitalist bourgeois state, because the individuals are turning their anger inside against themselves. And okay, and I want to say here that then I want to smoke because I see, yeah, women are in this kind of lowered, inferior place in society, and they're always waiting for us. Imagine a man is really a full person, And I want to gift myself to a man, maybe, but a strong man, and he has to show me the way, and I will react to him. And this then makes me feel like, yeah, I also want to be equal to this woman. I want to come down to her place, but to sink really down to this place, what I have to also harm myself. I have to do something harmful. I can't be that healthy, because if I fulfill my whole potential, then I will stand so high above women, and I don't want that. For real love, there has to be an equalness. You have to look into each other's eyes, like your eyes this one time or many times, but so beautiful that we also are the same height. And exactly, I don't even know if this is so good to express here. It's a problematic thought, but okay, there's a lot to go on talking about now that I think about it. Then this other colleague I talked about him yesterday also, but then this past month I then also thought about this. Why did I then reject you or tell you that you could also take the initiative? Because I felt that you were more of a person, maybe more extroverted or more encouraged, and simply you're not that shy, but still in everyone there's a shyness, right? But this other colleague, I also, of course, perceive it in him that he also, like my roommates also, but everyone always waits for me and never takes the first step. That could feel a little stupid. Why did I reproach this to you? And but only because of this, because in love it's different. Love, maybe is a little different than friendship and more valuable, or at least feels this more exciting. And there I wanted to see this, and also thought about you, that you could do this, but now simply maybe shouldn't have written this and wrote this out of desperation. Because I was there already in a dark place, not because of my cat, but also because, mainly because of you, and because I thought you were going away now to see your family, but I wanted you here and only needed you and still need you. And then I had this episode up my sleeve, and Trumpf im Ärmel haben, and Ass im Ärmel. I pulled this out of my sleeve, this episode from November, but still felt then in December like, no, this is the time to wait and see and exactly savor, let those feelings even grow. The imagination makes it stronger, but therefore, today I can feel it's really maybe too long already. And it, I have to tell you this, that it really doesn't feel good to be without you, and doesn't, and doesn't feel good, but can't figure it out. Just can't go on forever like this with these episodes, right? And now let's move on to this difficult point. Now there's this feeling of exclusive entangling, and it's only about you, maybe ex-girlfriend, but the status there is unclear and it's not that important to think about now. Although it is important to think about polyamory in this way, it also feels very special that this love is not only to you, but it's a polyamorous proof also that it could be possible to love you and her. And that this is the proof I'm trying to prove, like in math, right? Like prove there's holding for eternity. That is always going to be true. And yeah, therefore it feels like polyamory is a vital part of it, and it's not just that I want to love you and say you're this one person that's gonna make me whole forever, but then again it feels exactly this way. Yeah, at least now in this situation you're this one person that's gonna make me whole, and that's that's paradoxical, and I don't even need to or want to understand everything about love, only this, that I need to be with you and wake up with you. It could be so great to see each other's face when you verschlafen, when you feel like you're sleepy or dozy, and yeah, and but let's not imagine too much, right? This could become real, and don't want to blunder it, don't want to put it in such a high place. It's only normal, right, to sleep and to do those common things, and don't expect too much from life, right? And then, yeah, these other women that I say, of course, I want to talk to you mainly so that you can be confident and look for a man, and it certainly can't be me, at least in this phase of my life right now. And yeah, maybe later on I could feel polyamorous again, but then yeah, I want to tell you that you maybe have to take the initiative, but not out of compassion for men I say this, but for you, that also I think, at least, yeah, that this reactive role is not the best for women, not the best to develop their own love feelings and come to a clear view, clearance of what they really feel and want. And this is so hard, of course. I feel this as a man also. It's not even possible in most situations to know what you want, and you let yourself being dragged away by the stream, by the river, by society, or by friends that drag you with you, and you say, oh yeah, I also want to be normal, I don't want to miss out anything, everybody else is having this experience, right, so am I. And this is not so good. I tell you, love is a great experience, but there's no reason why you shouldn't also be really on the attacking with your queen in chess and checkmating your adversary, like with a tender checkmate maybe, but still taking down this man you feel so you feel such enticing feelings, such ambivalent, incredible feelings that you can't even come to clear what this really is. But in order to clear this up, you have to speak up and you have to look for this man. This is my whole point. Exactly. No, whatever. You have to become clear, realize, become clear, and therefore you have to speak up. And I perceive this passivity in a lot of women, and I can only encourage you and say that I, as a man, would even find you more attractive or love you more if you could develop this ability to also attack or to but still, of course, there are many women that are also very confident already today, like my ex-girlfriend, like I said, but also other girls. I met one girl on Bumble in Switzerland in this phase, and it was also a good phase, right, although it was so hurting also. But we had a date there, and I felt that, yeah, there's also harmony between us, but then of course, there was this whole story to be solved there at home, and but also I hid those plans and those subconscious thoughts from myself maybe, and thought, yeah, this with this coworker, this is maybe over, or at least, yeah, don't want to think about it. But then after meeting this girl, I also felt the urge to publish those remaining episodes, because back then it was maybe when was this? Was not so long ago. 4 weeks ago, after I had published this Me and My People episode already. And I told her about this difficult situation with this coworker and my ex-girlfriend. And but then I had this feeling, yeah, this could be an interesting girl. She's from China. And yeah, there was also this glance and this feeling of erotic attraction, and wow, this is exactly like I described yesterday, the first time we went out on a walk. And also there's this feeling, wow, man, you should control yourself. Why is your mind always entangling in this erotic stuff? But it's hard to resist, right? It's hard to resist a woman. And yeah, this was a great experience, but still, it was only one walk we had there, and after this, it became clear to me, yeah, I need to go on with this publishing and see where this leads me. But this girl could be a really great girl, and if I want to, well, also if I want to give this a fair chance with her, but then I have to first solve this other love problem there at home. And this is a great point to understand this whole socialist entanglement. You do something because you see in other people. You have to study the beauty of people, says Platon, the Greek philosopher. In order to become a great philosopher, you already have to start in your youth studying the beautiful parties, and through that you will develop a sharp philosophical view that then your mind can wander and can come in the clear about all kinds of concepts and beauty, because beauty is maybe the source of everything. And why is this way? This something seems so beautiful, and yeah, but now I don't even want to think about it, because now it feels like I'm so driven towards you, and your beauty is the only beauty right now, or I don't even want to think about beauty, because then I think, yeah, you'd have to tell me. I don't want to look at you like this, like a man in all this masculine way, and say, oh yeah, this is a woman, this is the greatest thing for me on earth. No, I want to only look at you like this, that, yeah, your eyes, I'm craving for your eyes, and only feel at ease when I can be with you and talk to you. And yeah, beauty, I don't even want to think about, because I also don't want to put you under this pressure. Then, because you feel, yeah, your lover is looking at you, you want to be beautiful. And also I felt this at work then those past months, and this feels so ambiguous. Why is this such a feeling that the glance of the other is also hurting you? Because then I feel I don't want to look bad, I don't want to, but of course there's always going to be some movements or some facial expression that's going to look weird. And even in you, of course, in any person. And I don't want to, I don't want to evaluate that, assess that, and simply perceive it all, because there's so much beauty, and it's best when you're natural, behaving like you're natural. And but of course, especially in you, there's also this artificial, it's nice, really nice girly behavior, and this so great. But also I thought, want to be more natural and not always think of what could my lover see in me. And this is a good point, I think, because it feels this way, yeah, that you think, wow, how am I looking in this moment, and am I really this attractive to her? And yeah, I don't want, this is, yeah, this is painful, the thoughts of about beauty, therefore I say, and therefore Platon was very right, because this is such a deep abyss that you then glance into when you think about beauty and why are we all different. Well, some are more beautiful, some less, but at least there's this deep equality in youth, that everyone gets to be young once in his or her life. And this is a great point, I think, we have to assess correctly, because it can feel like in beauty, the wealth, the beauty is distributed in such an unfair way, like in capitalism, but it isn't quite this, because a person can be more beautiful than another, but it's not like it's going to be 10 times more beautiful. It's like maybe, yeah, a little. But in capitalism, we have people that are really 1,000, 1,000,000 times more, have more wealth, are richer than others. And this is the real obscene inequality. And in beauty, in love, it's natural. There also has to be a difference. This is the crucial thing about identity, that you couldn't perceive, you couldn't identify another person if there was no difference. And if you had all the same characteristics and beauty, this would not only be boring, but it would be impossible to live, because how could you speak to someone who can't see him, can't identify who is this even, and why would you speak to this person and you could speak to anyone, right? Because they're all kind of the same. And yeah, this is an interesting thought that just popped up now when speaking, and I find this great that, yeah, in capitalism, it's really an extreme, obscene inequality that has to be abolished, and there's no way out. This is really shameful and hurtful. But in beauty, it's not even that bad to be not that beautiful. Like Stendhal, the French writer, wrote in his book about love, that, yeah, maybe it's easier to fall in love to a person that's not so beautiful, because a certain characteristic is always there, and with a person that's so beautiful, you will feel like maybe you're not worthy, or this person couldn't be loyal to you because there will be so many lovers. Or yeah, he expresses that it's easier to love someone who has maybe a certain ugliness, even he wrote, I think. But yeah, of course, you, my special lover, are in my eyes just I don't even want to say this beautiful, because of course it's beautiful, but it's not that what differentiates you from the rest of the world. It's only that you're you, and you are like you are, and creating this feeling in me, and this situation always with you is one of a kind, and it's only that I can identify you and can know who and where you are, and this is going to be always fine if you're by my side. And yeah, then now this thread of my discourse put me into a position where I want to mention another point. This point that but this point is maybe too complicated, I feel now. No, there's nothing else left to say. This was so beautiful what I said right now, and I don't even know what exactly was it. Can't remember, right? If you smoke so much, it's also clearing. Not clearing, but in but making the opposite of clearing, obscuring your brain, obfuscating. And this I have to I want to confess, I want to say it all. But also in our conversations, but yeah, especially there, of course, in our conversation then at work, it was sometimes this way. After weekend, I feel, yeah, then comes this question, what did you do on the weekend? And I feel like, oh wait, I can't remember, right? I'm a stoner, and always this is kind of obscured. Of course I can remember, but still it feels a little in the distance. It feels, yeah, different when you're not such a viceful person. And therefore it always creates also kind of pressure. And vicious, I'm not viceful, right? Vicious, ooh, depraved. This creates this feeling that I'm not even in charge. I don't even know about my identity, about my history, biography, or what happened yesterday or the day before that. But yeah, it is still there, but still I say there is a slight wandering, a feeling of shame, a trembling, oh man, am I gonna remember this and how was this? Or even remembering how old I am, right? I know how old I am, but then last week or someday my boss asked me, yeah, how old are you? And I say, yeah, yeah, of course, this and that. But then for some minutes after that, I keep wondering, oh man, there was this, is this really true? How old am I? And yeah, this sounds stupid, but with this, I think I really have to close matters because this sounds too ridiculous. But yeah. And as a closer, this poem I wrote up and I mentioned yesterday could fit in nicely. And yeah, these other women I talked about, I had this feeling that wanted to bring this up because this erotic tension is something that is making me crazy. I'm craving this tunnel, and I don't know if it's really going to add up, not only with you but in general in love, if this is possible, because this feels like this one of a kind special feeling you can have, like I have with you. This feels like it's always going to be ruined by this other more proliferate, more widespread socialist erotic feeling you can feel for many people, in my case from many women. Feel this attraction and feel, oh yeah, it would be nice to also have some physical sensual interaction, just cuddle or something. But it always felt this way, this is going to totally ruin this perfect love, and I don't know, it can never happen, this perfect love. But now I feel with my theory, yeah, maybe it can hold, maybe can could happen. But yeah, I'm also not that great man. Also to all those women who might be listening, I tell them this, that you better should come up with your own theory. And yeah, going to hunting for men, and showing your lust, your desire for conquering, entering those boats like a pirate. Yeah, this is what I wanted to say. It feels like this is such a guilt, and this has to do, of course, with Christianity and the moral improgram in us. Is something dirty about the sexual organs, and it's a dirty desire, and I'm a vicious person. And if you're gonna think this way, how is this possible? And this is so nice to think also, because today we're used to think this world is so modernized and is so clear and scientific, all kinds of stuff, everything was discovered in science and we're so modern. But yeah, on one hand we are modern on those fields that foster capitalism, that can bring profits, for example in this technology area. Of course there's all kinds of research, but are we really that progressed in social science? I don't think so. And I think even, like Robert Pfaller also says, the Greeks and the Romans 2000 years ago were more progressed in this way of how to construct a society and how this society is going to be authoritarian in the right way, not in this liberal way, but in a way of guiding us to our lust basis, also to say it's good to have sex and strive for love, and those Greeks always could rely on their gods, because those gods were quite different and were so vicious. In the mythology, the gods were always fighting, drinking and having sex, seducing each other, seducing humans, and this was showing then the Greeks, the real humans, that if the gods were this way vicious, then also I as a small man can be, maybe someday, I don't have to overdo it like they do, the gods in all those myths, but I can also dare to be like this. And this is a way better superstructure, a religion that could guide us towards pleasurable experiences. And then came up Christianity, which of course one can criticize, but also I have to say, well, simply it's there, it has lasted for 2000 years, or is even going to last longer, we don't know. And it also creates a sense of admiration, of course, you need to say, yeah, what's there is right in some way, like Hegel used to say, or somehow. And yeah, for this, but still we have to really acknowledge that Christianity relies on this dark drive inside ourselves that I mentioned yesterday, that we don't drive for happiness or for lust, but we drive for depression maybe. And this is exactly the basis on which Christianity then builds its stronghold, that we don't want to entangle us in those ambivalent feelings, in these fields, activities like sex, and then say, oh no, it's solely this way, there's this one God I'm gonna love, and this is such a metaphysical experience, it's taking away all this other sensual stuff. Diesseitig, then there's the big the other side, the jenseits, and there are going to be the nicest pleasures in the beyond, on the other side, and those pleasures are going to be way superior than the pleasures down here. But what does this mean? As I wrote in this love letter on episode 146 already, that this means in my view that this is a whole it's an insatiable voraciousness. Exactly. It's exactly that way what Christianity then accuses the others of doing, that they say, oh yeah, that's we as human, or as humans we are so low, we're triggered and only enticed by those by the flesh, and this is bad, the flesh, the joys of the flesh and the material goods, and we're so low. But what does this mean, that Christians, or this Christian outlook, doesn't even, it's not enough simply for them, it's the flesh, the material things, the good life we can have here and now, right now, is not good enough, and they say, oh no, we want something better, something bigger, and it has to be really whole, and in the beyond there will be this incredible lust, will be so much better, and those people who have sex now, well, they're just idiots because they're losing out then, and I'm being faithful to my God. And I have to express this, it maybe sounds also hurting to you, because I saw that you had this chain, of course, and it is nice, the symbol. And exactly, so please just understand that I speak here freely and the content doesn't matter, just it's all my thoughts and they get out, and I can't hinder them, I can't tell them to not escape here, but they escape, keep escaping here when I'm beyond the microphone. And I don't know if you really Christian, and it could be like Lana Del Rey, she also sang about this, that she's Christian and always looking for a man that's also believing. But I tell you, you could believe anything and also convince me of anything. I'm totally open to this and totally devout and saying yeah, in a way it is like this, that your love is your God, and this is way better and than in those kinds of religions that I want to, yeah, praise and yeah, simply praise or even pray to you. But yeah, this is now exaggerated. Now it becomes clear this has gone now too far. It has to be really, the tension has to be lowered. I have to get, we have to be, get back to this next week and talking again. And this can't go on like, this is really idealist. And if you're only praying and seeing this holy goddess in your lover, and exactly. But with this talk, I think I have, yeah, in a way emptied myself. I don't think I can talk, I can give this German talk that I was aspiring, maybe, that I was, but yeah, promising. But I can only read out this love poem. It's not really poem, but still a poem I always write in this freestyle. And yeah, German poems are here in English, as I thought, as this yeah, make me feel like you were also there this day in the office, and you were also maybe a little sad of because of not talking, and it was this game we were playing, yeah, pleasureful but also painful, and felt that yeah, maybe you're just as desperate as me, and keep on playing this game, and but for me it feels really bad and feels like I want to only grab your hand or arms and tell you, please forgive me for whatever I've done, and I only want to, yeah, go back to normalcy, right? That you see someone normal in me, and I don't know what you want of me, right? If you only wanted to be friends, that would be also totally okay for me. Like, yeah, there was this other coworker 3 years ago when I started working at this company, and fell in love to her, or told her this already after 4 months, and we started together. We were always working together almost all day long in this project with the two of us, and yeah, this was a good experience, but still all maybe all overwhelmed her then, that she also had a boyfriend, but back then I was beginning to think, beginning to get into this polyamorous thinking, and yeah, this felt very sharp, ambivalent, and telling her this and thinking, yeah, but it was this feeling, I didn't want to take her from her boyfriend, and felt like, yeah, if she could be also enchanted by me, why wouldn't we do it? I don't want to be hindered by these moral, by this reactionary moral standpoints, and yeah, I would just want to live that. She's a girl I felt so attracted to, and don't want to be inhibited, because I'm already that inhibited, feel already in work so suppressed in capitalism, and feels like there's no possibility of revolution, right? We're preparing ourselves, of course we have to keep believing, keep educating the masses as communists, but it seems so far, and really there's no light on the horizon, the tunnel seems to never end in capitalism, and yeah, but at least you can get that, you can tell a person what you feel and say, I don't really care about this reactionary yeah, reactionary thinkings, and that of course this will be something, would be then something hurtful to this boyfriend, but then again yeah, could be a nice experience, and if she felt this way, simply attracted to me, why, I mean, it's not like he has some right over her life, and every person should be autonomous in this way, and yeah, this is painful, but I think in love it's crucial to learn, and we can't learn if we don't have different experiences, also sad experiences, and yeah, I don't know, only telling this because then afterwards, yeah, she said that she didn't have those love feelings, and we were simply friends, and always met privately sometimes, but now already over a year that we didn't meet, or she didn't want to, but maybe someday we'll go back to meeting, and it feels like this way. It's totally great to be friends now and to have gotten this tension out of the way. Like, this was my point with polyamory, that I didn't explain in depth last night, therefore I mentioned it today at the beginning, that this takes off the edge, takes off the pressure a little, maybe, in those social relations in everyday life, that you say, yeah, it's possible to love or to have sex with other people and not think much of it, don't think of it like, yeah, this is going to be the one of a lifetime experience, and you're going to be, of course it could be, it's nice, it feels this way with you right now, but it's not this in every situation, and it's good to also fall in love and, yeah, getting all kinds of ideas and preparation. It's all about timing and being then, yeah, at the right time in the right spot, and feeling like now finally you're that strong person, I finally you can do this that you couldn't do before. And therefore I say with you also could be friends. I don't know what you want, maybe you don't know it either, but you'd have to, well, come up with something. It all gets clear when you speak, and I'm sure we can get back to this someday and totally be the greatest day of my life, maybe. Or, no, I don't want to set this standard so high, right? Would be totally normal day when we get back to talking there, and then slowly it comes out, and yeah, it's just a matter of timing and of the right tempering. Exactly. And with this, I think I can read this love poem. So I wrote on the 17th of April. I love you so much, even if it's stupid to love. Don't worry, I'll be with you soon. Just need some time figuring out what I want. But every second thinking of you and what I would do if you were here or I was there where you stand. Hug you and press my body against yours. Because you're a magnet attracting me, impossible to get by without touching you. Being torn apart and ripped and left there helpless at your mercy. All this you do to me through your magnetic power that I don't want to resist. Just it's so hard to realize you have to speak and apologize or say anything, but this silence seems so perfect and my future seems bright because everything is possible and there's so much joy and beauty possible when I think of you and me. Therefore, it's so much easier to leave it all in the dark, leave it unresolved. Who knows what happens? Everything is possible, we are fluid, but that is so coward. I know I should man up and talk to you again. I can't get by without you, or don't want to. But even if it seems like I was strong, I'm not, or don't want to be when you aren't there. Watching me. Only for you I can be strong and get past any obstacle. Even that swinish stuff, my God, it's not that important. More important is that tender stuff, that romantic, affectionate proceeding of touching you with my hands, my eyes, or words. Stroking, caressing you for everyone in this perfect harmony that exists, like we exist as two individuals. But more powerful is the existence of love. It should be possible to love. Yet in my life I found multiple ways to make the possible impossible. To make the possible impossible. Let it appear as though it's too hard to reach. Or not even good enough to reach it. To want to reach it. Please don't let us go this way. With you it is easy, too easy, because meeting you makes me too sure to want to fall into your eyes for the rest of my life. It doesn't seem credible, right? You're perfect. Don't fool yourself. You are just as you need to be in order for me to love you. Wait there, I will come and see you. I'm a bit slow, that's all. Don't lose patience. I'm afraid and fear we might fail. But every time you ground me, being there and looking at me is enough to make me shiver. Please don't go. I need you, need to feel your presence, even when we're just sitting there in silence. Need to hear you breathing or yawning and see your graceful arms and feet move around. That calms me. I know you're there, you're real, real as me. And this world is great. Its creator did a superb job. If it can breed such beings as you are. Exuberant, genuine, naturally wild and intriguing. You're a wild cat and I don't know if I can catch you without ruining your liberty. Exactly. And this wild cat, this I wrote before, of course, long before this episode, Cats and Mouse, number 9, the last one published, written. And in there I wrote, of course, that you are a wild cat because, it seemed like me in this look. And although I said it wasn't that great, but still it was great, just the symbol, this was just, doesn't matter the content, right? There were glances before, you know, conversations there in autumn, they were way more intense and deep, like way more intense than this one yesterday, or it was yesterday, right? I can't remember. But way more intense. But yesterday this was just the formal sign. This was only this simply a present you gave to me, like I say all these podcasts and forget about what's in them. It's only for me to relieve all this pressure to get by somehow. I can't get by without you, exactly. Therefore, I have to find a way to find an outlet, and this greatest outlet would be being with you. Of course, also sex, but sex is not. It's also painful to think about, and I want to get past this tunnel I'm constructing. Right? It's not. I don't know. You can't have sex for us. It can't be such a huge thing because. Simply, it's restricted in time. It's only an activity you do for sometimes, of course, you could go on for hours. But I feel like this is not the core of love, and yet, of course, it's maybe crucial for this outlet thing to have a vent, an outlet to let the pressure out. Of course, therefore, it would be really, really crucial. But with this, I think, with this wildcat thing, this ruining your liberty, also that in love it's this way you don't know. This is me. I don't know what kind of a person am I. Am I really adjusted to you, or really at this height? Could I be this person? But if you feel this way, you can make this decision totally in the strong. It put you totally in a strong place. Therefore, all these episodes. This put you in this place, hopefully, where you can feel like a queen. You're totally there. This matters. What's occurring in your brain is the only thing that seems of importance to me. And I also was thinking then I should maybe delete all those episodes, maybe someday, or when we figured it out, because then it would be an even more special present only to you, and then I can go on with my normal podcast in German, or we'll see. But of course, it's a diff. It's a construct, one of a kind. I've created here through these episodes, and I don't know what this means or what I'm doing. But still, I don't even think so much of it. It's all unconscious, right? Like I said, with this girl in Switzerland, it's not because of her, but it's all entangled. And there was this feeling, oh well, yeah, now I have to move on. And this stuff with you, this is really so high up the stack. I have to really be sure that there's not a chance. If there's still one slight light of hope, then I have to grab this chance and first talk to you, and then I can think of other girls again. And yeah, it's all entangled, it's all provocations, and it's not possible to put a wall, really. Well, for a time, yeah, this icy wall inspiring, of course, for a time are still important to think about it, to whom you want to be so loyal that you think, yeah, it could be such a lasting eternal relationship. Like, I don't want to love God or this eternity, but in love maybe. This would be also a religious experience and a belief in something lasting, and you can always be sure of that and always feel you have a resort, a last resort. You can go back to someone who will always take you to their arms or support you, also maybe financially if you're bankrupt. I think that's a vital point in capitalism. There's someone who will always lend you money and always be with you and hear about your problems, even if you're addicted maybe, and even if you have all kinds of problems. And with this, I feel like maybe talking on some more, but maybe it's not even that good. But this wall I was talking about, yeah, it's paradoxical. I don't know how it can be really constructed or to what end or means, but it feels now I want to construct only with you our relationship. With the rest of the world doesn't even matter, and only with you this could be, by looking into each other's eyes and talking. And this is so simple, and it doesn't have to be the best. That's what I thought last night. Yeah, my theory hold, but still you always feel you want to take the best path you can. You have to not blunder, but also have to optimize it, take the perfect path in each fork in the road, take the perfect decision to make this lasting or make this more erotic. But I feel now with this experience we've had in the past, it was also too much and also too erotic maybe, and I don't want to go on playing. Now the Spieltrieb is really now satisfied. I feel, wow, this was crazy, and now it's really the need for love, for physical and spiritual, mental love. And this is the most important thing, even if it then might not be that perfect as one can imagine. But still, the most important point is to try it, to not walk away from this. What I know, there's such a potential in that, and I feel this has to be tried. There's no way around it. And with this, maybe you feel that I made my point clearly. It's all masculine, and I'm so determined. But I tell every man out there that this is kind of what women expect from us, and it's not that hard. Even if you think if you pick up this confidence, you can do it. You could also do a podcast. It could be a nice love gift. And it's so easy there to speak your mind. And you can try it. You have to use those love codes that then seem cheesy, but it also feels right. And also maybe women expect this. And this is the problem in today's liberalism, that we're all focused on ourselves, our personality, identity, and that we have to optimize it, and we don't want to make a fool out of ourselves, take rational, scientific decisions, be in charge, knowing what you want. And this kind of ideology creates a very hostile environment for love, because in love you have to also lose everything. I'm losing it simply here, losing my words, I'm losing my composure. Yeah, I'm simply lost without you. And this is also great and romantic to express. And yeah, it's maybe not possible to express, and this might be a huge obstacle in today's love relationships, that women maybe are dreaming of this, a man could come, and yeah, why would this be so hard, right? I mean, if a man can, it's not so hard to talk to a girl, and then maybe when you feel like, yeah, there is something going on both sides, then you can maybe come up with something, maybe a love letter, and say, all these crazy feelings have accumulated inside me, or a love podcast. And it's really an easy thing to do if you think of it like this. Wow, what do you have to lose? I mean, she could reject you, but what is this? It's the glance of this big other. It's what the psychoanalyst talks about in Slavoj Žižek, this philosopher who's orienting, is writing much about psychoanalysis. The glance of the big other, this societal structure, the naive watcher, the observing instance that is simply there above us, an imaginary construct that is yet real because we all behave according to it, and we don't want to look like ridiculous individuals, don't know the rules and the ropes and how this is done adequately. But in love, there is really no adequate way. It's something that throws you out of yourself, and it's beyond any limit and boundary. And with this, I think I maybe must find the boundary, at least for my podcast, because right in this life I'm leading now, this crazy obsessive experience, is really not possible to find a boundary. But still, I say this, it's good also to be obsessed, and yet quite maybe that thinking all day long of you in my podcast, but mainly to what this could lead, and you, and it's too much right now. But still I've prepared a lot. And in my life, always, like Platon said, thinking about those beautiful bodies, but also the beautiful minds and girls, I felt like, wow, why can't I talk to her? This could be such a big chance. Could be a chance that's up there on the street and only has to be played in the right mood and manner, and I can't do it. But still, this also is good. As I said, it's always good when it gets you thinking, gets you feel like you need to come up with a plan, like those chess players. To be worthy, you need to understand, and therefore you have to be active, you have to be looking, you have to be confronted with this problem and saying, wow, I'm not really in this position where it's expected from me to take this action, this step. And yeah, this is the boundary. I'm gonna crash simply into the wall if I don't do this. And my discourse here is really crashing. I feel this is a nice outro here, letting my mind kind of wander off in this meditative way, but also one has to find really the end. And yeah, I greet you, also my ex-girlfriend, special lover from Peru, and it's really this firing but still so paradoxical love. And yeah, but mainly I greet only you, But yeah, doesn't, I don't know what I think, what I can say, at least maybe better really to not say anything, not, yeah, not, only waiting for you and what you, and I will be totally pleased to wait, yeah, a long time also, maybe not a year from now would be too much, but still I could wait like, yeah, totally a long time, and for you there's no boundaries, although I now feel it has to happen. It doesn't matter from which side the initiative comes, and it doesn't matter because we're one and there's no difference between the lovers, and what one does is already what the other does. It's the cause and consequence. We're like both like resonating in each other like two musical instruments, and yeah, exactly, therefore we're playing together in an orchestra, and this is not always going to be that harmonic, but I feel it is a process of truth that has begun and has to be completed, or at least followed some time more, some distance more. Exactly, and not in this distance, not so distance, but really, really close, like in this poem. And with that, I really say, with this now, I say thank you to all of you listeners. This was Table Set Yourself number 11. 11, yeah. Ciao, ciao.